Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you for watching over us through these days since we came together the last time, as evidenced by the mere fact that we're here so that we can worship you again. We thank you for the safe travel and the watch care that you've given us to prevent serious injuries or even death. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher today. We ask for strength and encouragement and an increase of faith as we read and study your word. Help us to be able to see the lessons that you're teaching from heaven, applying not only for the times past, but that history is repeating and they also apply for us in these last days. We ask also that you give the same mercies toward our brothers and sisters that we don't know, wherever they are, that are seeking you in spirit and truth today as they worship you. And we pray for our enemies as well, the impenitent and heathen Laodiceans and the impenitent and heathen Babylonians, Satan's people. We ask, Lord, that you work in their lives and that miracles take place and conversions are the result. If it be your will, let us be a part of this, and that let our faith be strengthened, that we see former adversaries turn to you and give acceptance to Christ and his word in their life that they've never done before. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to acknowledge our website visitors and thank them for coming and listening to the studies and reading the studies that are on the website. As of this Sabbath, October 13th, 2012, from around the United States, the Russian Federation, the Ukraine, Poland, France, Austria, Saudi Arabia, the Netherlands, and India. Again, thank you for visiting the website. If you have any questions or comments of any kind, please send us an email. Let's turn to Desire of Ages, page 467. And we left off in paragraph 2, but I want to just give a brief little summary from last week. As Jesus was talking with the openly idolatrous or openly heathen and Laodicean Pharisees of his day, he was trying to point to them to the fact that a spiritual connection with him was all important, and that a physical connection with him was not important unless you had that spiritual connection. The Pharisees couldn't understand a spiritual connection. They could not understand God. They had no knowledge of God. They had no love of the truth. They could only see the physical, not the spiritual. And Jesus was trying to tell them that the spiritual was the most important. They claimed that they were the children of Abraham because of a physical lineage to Abraham, a physical descent. And Jesus was trying to tell them that physical descent was not important unless people understood and had a spiritual descent and a connection with Christ, that it was the spiritual descent and the spiritual connection with Christ, being spiritually the children of Abraham, doing the works of Abraham and teaching his teachings, was what was then and still is of infinite value. The spiritual descent is far more important than the physical descent. And the Pharisees, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, were always promoting that which was physical, while at the same time they were denying and rejecting that which was spiritual. In their claims, they were physically saying, "We are of the children of Abraham." Today's heathen Laodicean Pharisees are doing the same thing. They profess to be Christians and Seventh-day Adventists. Instead of saying, we are the children of Abraham, they say, we are the children of God. And yet, Acts 17:29 defines the children of God as being those who do not think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or some other kind of material objects graven by art and man's device. The children of God do not think that way. Well, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of today think and say they are the children of God. We are the people of God. We are the church. We are the remnant. They are like the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day who were saying, we are the children of Abraham. And at the same time, they reject that which is spiritual. They reject the spiritual teachings of God's word. And they do not do the works of Abraham, as the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day, professing to be Christians and Seventh-day Adventists, do not do the works of Christians and Seventh-day Adventists. They do not do the works of the people of God or the children of God. According to God's word, they do directly the opposite of that. The children of God do not think that the Godhead is like unto material objects graven by art and man's device. They do not think that any one of the Godhead is like unto or can be represented by gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. That's how heaven defines the thinking of the children of God. They do not think that God can be represented by any kind of material objects graven by art and man's device. Acts 17:29. But today, heathen Laodicean Pharisees, they think that the entire Godhead can be represented by or is like unto material objects graven by art and man's device. Therefore, they are not the children of God, they are the children of Satan. And while they claim to be the children of God, they are in fact the children of Satan, according to the wisdom of heaven, as we have been clearly provided in His Word. The heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day were doing the same thing. They were claiming to be the people of God, the children of God. Effectually, they were claiming to be the church, the true people. And their claim was centered around the fact that we are the children of Abraham. Today, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees saying, we are the children of God, we are the church, we are the remnant. They can only see that which is physical. Physically, they can see that their descendants have been in what's called the Seventh-day Adventist Church for five generations. So they say, we're fifth-generation Seventh-day Adventists. They only see that which is physical. That's why they have to have physical churches. You can see them. They reject the idea. It can't seem to get it through their head that God's church is people. It's faithful souls. It's the people who love God and keep His commandments. It's the wheat. And God alone can see them. While at one hand, part of their brain says, you can't separate the tares from the wheat, they turn right around and claim to be the church. What's that if it's not the wheat? They can only see that which is physical, and they have a very difficult time historically, just like their counterparts in the days of Christ, with understanding, with true knowledge, that which is spiritual. Well, that's a given. They're not converted. That's the big problem. They're not converted, and they don't have a love of the truth. So they have to have physical churches. They have to have gods they can physically see, gods slash idols that they physically can see. When God's word comes, that's spiritual. And it contradicts what they wrongfully and physically believe, they simply set aside the truth that comes from heaven because it contradicts their unconverted physical world. And Christ was battling with them in this chapter and having a controversy with them in this chapter, The Light of Life, trying to get them to see that although they were physically the children of Abraham, spiritually they were not the children of Abraham. Because they did not have a love of the truth, they weren't teaching the teachings of Abraham, the truth, and they weren't doing the works, true works of Abraham. They could only see the physical, but not the spiritual. And Christ was telling them that the spiritual was all important. It was of infinite value, while the physical was not that important if there was no spiritual connection with God. Abraham had a spiritual connection with God, and to be of the children of Abraham, according to God, you also then had to have that same kind of connection that Abraham had. As I said before, we see the same thing today in the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day. They're not going around so much saying, although they do at times say it, but not as often. They don't often say, like their counterparts from Christ's day, we are the children of Abraham. They will, if you ask them the question, they will say that. But what they say that amounts to the same thing is, we are the children of God. We are the church. We are the remnant. We're fifth generation Seventh-day Adventists. They can only make a judgment as to their goodness by that which they can physically document. It entirely escapes them that they are negligent in that which is spiritual. They claim to be the greatest religionists on the face of the earth, and they are not keeping the law of God. They claim to be keeping the Sabbath, but they are Sabbath polluting with idolatry. They claim to be worshiping God, but they are worshiping Satan. We've covered all the references of this time and again in the past. You'll remember from Desire of Ages, page 107. God told us who his people are. In other words, who his children are. Who his true people or true children are. The Pharisees, in one way or another, in Christ's day and in our day, always claim to be the children or the people of God in one way or another. But page 107 in Desire of Ages, heaven gives us the test by which we know if the claims are true or fraudulent. And it says there again, if their life and character were not in harmony with God's law, they were not his people. In other words, they were not his children. They were not the church. They were not the remnant, no matter what they boast and claim to be. And as we've said so many times, tragically, we can simply apply God's law to his professed people today, and we can issue the challenge. I ask any lay person of today's professed Seventh-day Adventist Church in any of its conference ranks, any lay person, any Sabbath school teacher, any preacher, evangelist, any seminary teacher, anybody working in the hierarchy, all the way up to the General Conference President himself, I ask the General Conference President, name one commandment that as a church you think you're keeping, and by God's word and your behavior, which is well documented, we'll show you how you're openly transgressing that commandment. And I dare you to name the fourth commandment. I dare you to say that you're keeping the Sabbath holy, or that you're keeping the Sabbath at all. In reality, you're openly Sabbath polluting, and you're not worshiping God, you're in Satan worship. You're openly Sabbath polluting with open idolatry in Satan worship. That's why they call our enemy the master of deception. You're doing all this, and just like the Pharisees of Christ's day, you're saying, we are the children of God, We are the church. We are the remnant. And you're not. And the Word of God makes these things very plain. And it's a tragedy. What is the tragedy? It need not be this way. But it requires that you have a love of the truth and that you have to be willing to admit when the Word of God comes to you that you've been taking a transgressing approach to God's Word. You have to put pride aside and change your direction. Get off on the broad way and walk the narrow way and truly be obedient to the law of God instead of giving lip service to it, physically saying you're keeping the commandments of God but spiritually transgressing all of them. And you are openly transgressing all of them. And I say this to the General Conference President of the merely professed Seventh-day Adventist Church today in all of its worldwide and conference ranks. There is not one commandment that you as a body of people are keeping today. You're in open sin and open transgression of each and every one of them, to include the Sabbath. If you want to have more on this, if you want to have a specific commandment, just pick one and contact me. Our website is forerunnerministries.com and our email address is right there. And you can clearly send us an email and we will talk to you, if you wish, about the commandment that you want to prove that you're keeping. We'll show you how you're not doing that. The same thing that happened in Christ's day is happening now. History is repeating. The heathen Laodicean Pharisees are claiming to be the people of God, but they are not keeping or teaching His commandments. What they teach is a lie. They teach the Sabbath, and at the same time, they're Sabbath polluting. And it's one subject they never teach. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. Sabbath polluting with idols or gods. They never teach that because that's what they're doing. They never teach the people what idolatry truly is, and they try to confuse the people on the subject of idolatry and worship. They do not acknowledge the truth of the Laodicean message. They actually teach that the Laodicean church is the remnant church, and they've been doing that for years. But the remnant church keep the commandments of God and spiritually and physically have the testimony of Jesus. How can the Laodicean church then be the remnant church? Because Laodiceans, according to God's word also, are heathen. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899. And all heathen are in idolatry. Acts of the Apostles 2:39, paragraph 2. Therefore, the Laodiceans cannot be the remnant. And to say that the Laodicean church is the remnant church is bearing false witness, a lie. Unfortunately, that's the thinking today by heathen Laodicean Pharisees. They actually think the Laodicean church is the remnant church. It is not. Christian Seventh-day Adventists, the wheat, they comprise the remnant church. Heathen Laodiceans are not the wheat, and therefore they are not the remnant church. They are not the wheat because they are in open sin. They're not even tares. There are tares, wheat, and open sinners. Heathen Laodiceans are not even tares. They're open sinners. Openly Sabbath polluting with open idolatry and open Satan worship. Anyway, that's a little recap of last week. Let's continue on. Because Jesus continues to talk with them. He was warning the heathen Laodicean Pharisees and the rabbis of that sect that although they had a mere physical descent from Abraham, it was of no value because they had no spiritual connection with either Abraham or God. And they weren't doing the same works that Abraham did, and they were not of the spirit of Abraham. And therefore, since they were in reality not promoting or keeping the law of God, they were not his people, they were not his children, like they thought they were. Continuing on in Desire of Ages, page 467, paragraph 2, it says, this principle bears with equal weight upon a question that has long agitated the Christian world, the question of apostolic succession. Descent from Abraham was proved, not by name and lineage, but by likeness of character. So the apostolic succession rests not upon the transmission of ecclesiastical authority, but upon spiritual relationship, a life actuated by the apostle spirit, the belief and teaching of the truth they taught. This is the true evidence of apostolic succession. This is what constitutes men the successors of the first teachers of the gospel. So the question is not, are my relatives going back physically to Abraham? That's not the question. It's, do I have the same spirit and teachings as Abraham? Do I have the same spirit and teachings of the apostle? If that's true, then we are successors of the first teachers of the true gospel. The trouble is, and this has always been the trouble, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, although they are teaching and transgressing every commandment of God wrong, they think they're keeping all of the commandments. And the one commandment that they make shine the most is that they think they're keeping the Sabbath, when in reality they're Sabbath polluting with idolatry and Satan worship. And they pass off upon the people that they can be in idolatry because they don't worship the images they make. But to be in idolatry is to receive one of Satan's arts and devices as if it were okay, as if it were from heaven. And when mankind does that, when they receive any of Satan's arts and devices, including idolatry, as if it were okay or as if it were from heaven, and they deceive themselves by saying it's okay if we do this because we don't worship these images, in reality, they are in Satan worship while they're making these very claims because of the idolatry itself. And like we did last week, we let everyone know, and there's many places to go there, but we talked about Signs of the Times, May 6th, 1880, or One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2 and paragraph 15, which defines idolatry as making images to represent God. Very clearly, it's right there, plain as day, in the testimony of Jesus. That's what idolatry is. And when people make images to represent God and they say that it's okay to do this because they're not worshiping the images, they're compounding and adding to their idolatry a direct falsehood, because they are in reality worshiping these images. These images are idols and or gods. That's what idolatry is. And idolatry, again, is making images to represent God. Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880. And when people are in idolatry, these images then, these images of God they make, that is idolatry. These things are then idols or gods. And they are then not only in transgression of the second commandment, but idols or gods means that they are also in transgression of the first commandment. And Sister White comments on the first commandment in Two Sermons and Talks, page 181. And she says that The first commandment is a requirement in reference to man's worship. She gives a one-sentence paragraph in comment on the first commandment. The first commandment is a requirement in reference to man's worship. Therefore, when people have, as the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, when they have other gods, they're already worshiping those gods, whether they know it or not. Therefore, when people are in idolatry, which God's word defines as making images to represent God, Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880, they have the children of idolatry, which are gods and idols. These images to represent God are in reality idols or gods, according to 1 Chronicles 16:26. And although they falsely say we can have these images, these idolatrous images, by the way, because we don't worship them, because these images are idols or gods, according to the first commandment and according to the testimony of Jesus, they are worshiping these images, these idols, these gods. Because the first commandment, again, is, quote, the first commandment is a requirement in reference to man's worship. And the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Therefore, if people have other gods, if they have forbidden images made to represent God, they therefore have idols or gods. And they're promoting the same. They are then worshiping these images, idols or gods, whether they know it or not. They are not then the children of Abraham. They are not successors to the apostolic declaration of the gospel, because they are not keeping the law of God. Fact of the matter is, it's very simple. Throughout history, heathen Laodicean Pharisees are in transgression of all of the law of God, especially murder, Sabbath polluting, and idolatry, and lying. Especially. How can they possibly be, then, God's people? How can they possibly be truly of the children of Abraham or linked to apostolic succession in any way? Fact of the matter is, heathen Laodicean Pharisees are not anything that they claim to be. Their boasts of superior goodness are fraudulent. So the question always comes up, how do you spiritually discern the difference between a heathen Laodicean and a Christian Seventh-day Adventist? And it's really very simple. Where do they stand on the issue of idolatry? And the idolatry includes, and it's much broader than that, but it includes making images of God. Do they think that making images of God is okay? Well, they're in direct contradiction of the truth from heaven, as found in Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880. Or One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2, paragraph 15, which tells us very clearly that idolatry is making images to represent God. You see, heathen Laodicean Pharisees make up their own religion, and they try to tell people that that's the religion of God. Why do they do that? Because it works. People do not go to the Word of God and check it for themselves. I challenge you to go to Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880. One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2, paragraph 15. And see for yourself that idolatry is defined as making images to represent God. See for yourself what it is. And then know this, that idolatry, by reason and common sense, is one of Satan's arts and devices. And when this idolatry, this making images to represent God, is received as if it were okay, or received as if it were from heaven, and excused and defended, therefore, those that are doing this are in Satan worship, whether they know it or not. according to 1 Testimonies 296, paragraph 2. So enough! Stuff it nonsense with this idea that you can make images to represent God because you don't worship them. When people say that, Christian Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters, they might as well ring up the black flag of Satan. You might as well know. If they profess to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists, then they say that they can make images to represent God because they don't worship them. They are telling you that they are the children of Satan, that they are heathen Laodiceans. And that's who Christ was speaking with here. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees, same thing. They are as active against Christ in our day as they were in his day. Let's continue on in Desire of Ages, page 467, paragraph 3. It says, Jesus denied that the Jews were children of Abraham. He said, Ye do the deeds of your father. In mockery they answered, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. These words, in allusion to the circumstances of his birth, were intended as a thrust against Christ in the presence of those who were beginning to believe on him. Jesus gave no heed to the base insinuation, but said, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Notice the arrogance and the ignorance of heathen Laodicean Pharisees. While they're talking to Jesus himself, they claim to be the children of Abraham, and he tells them they are not the children of Abraham. One of them was talking spiritually. God was saying, You are not the spiritual children of Abraham, and that's all that counts is the spiritual connection. And the other was saying, We are the children of Abraham, because they were only promoting the physical connection. And then, like all wicked people, they mocked God. And they accused him of being born of fornication. They bore false witness, didn't they? They were only proving that they were children of Satan because he is the father of all liars. And they intended this insult regarding fornication as a thrust against Christ. And they also intended it to hurt his standing before those who were just beginning to believe on him. And Jesus paid no attention to it. He told them if God was their father, essentially, and if they really were the spiritual children of Abraham, they would love him. They would love Christ because he proceeded and came forth from God the Father. In the next paragraph, it says, Their works testified of their relationship to him who was a liar and a murderer. You are of your father the devil, said Jesus, and the lusts of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stood not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Because I say the truth, ye believe me not. John 8:44-45, Revised Version. The fact that Jesus spoke the truth, and that with certainty, was why he was not received by the Jewish leaders. In other words, by the heathen Laodicean Pharisees. So, brothers and sisters, what does that say today when a Christian Seventh-day Adventist speaks the truth as from heaven to heathen Laodiceans of our day? They will not stand in the truth. They will find a way to reject the truth. The truth offends them. They will close their eyes to the truth. Any Christian Seventh-day Adventist in dealing with heathen Laodiceans has experienced that. And God is here trying to strengthen us by telling us this is exactly the same thing that Jesus experienced in dealing with the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of his day. Although they boast of superior goodness, and they boast of being the people of God, because they are not keeping the commandments of God, although they claim to be keeping the commandments of God, God's people know the commandments, they know what it teaches regarding the commandments in His Word, and they can easily see that heathen Laodicean Pharisees are not keeping the commandments of God. When they say they are only bearing false witness again and giving testimony to the fact that their relationship is not with God, but with Satan, who is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. It goes on here and it says, again, Christ says to them, "Because I say the truth, ye believe me not." John 8:44-45. The fact that Jesus spoke the truth, and that with certainty, was why he was not received by the Jewish leaders. It was the truth that offended these self-righteous men. The truth exposed the fallacy of error. It condemned their teaching and practice, and it was unwelcome. They would rather close their eyes to the truth than humble themselves to confess that they had been in error. They did not love the truth. They did not desire it, even though it was the truth. History is repeating, brothers and sisters. In these last days, we have the testimony regarding Laodiceans of our time, heathen Laodicean Pharisees, both in Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, combined with 8 testimonies, page 249, paragraph 2, to page 250, paragraph 1. And there it tells us, in 8 testimonies, 249 and 250, it tells us, "One who sees beneath the surface, who reads the hearts of all men, says of those who have had great light, they are not afflicted and astonished because of their moral and spiritual condition." Notice, they are not afflicted and astonished. "Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations," and that would be heathen abominations. There's no such thing as a Christian abomination. "I also will choose their delusions." Notice, because they choose their own ways and delight in abominations and heathen abominations, they will then go into delusions. It makes me think of what it says then for the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day, when it speaks of just such a delusion in Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881, or 1 Signs of the Times, page 227, column 3 in paragraph 2, it says there, "The Lord had done marvelous things for His people in the manifesting of His power as the only true and living God. Yet many had been led astray by the satanic delusion." Didn't God say that in our day, in 8 Testimonies 249 and 250, that the Laodiceans choose their own ways, they delight in abominations, in heathen abominations, and therefore they will go into delusions? Well, here's the delusion they're in today. I'm giving it to you straight. Here it is. "Many have been led astray by the satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands." There's the satanic delusion that all heathen Laodicean Pharisees are in today, because they choose their own ways and they delight in their abominations. Therefore, they will go into delusions. And this is one of their delusions. Is it not true that they believe that God can be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands? Do they not make images of God, and are not these images all out of some type of material object? Yes, yes. Well, what does it say here in the Word of God, the truth from heaven? Many had been led astray by the satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. It's a satanic delusion to think that God can be represented in this way. And yet, is this not what heathen Laodicean Pharisees are doing today? And they're doing it because they choose their own ways, not God's ways, as God has just told us in Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1880. It's a satanic delusion to believe that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. That's God's way. But what's their way? They say it's okay to do that because they don't worship it. Brothers and sisters, is it okay to have a satanic delusion because you don't worship it? That is just how deluded heathen Laodicean Pharisees are in our day. Out of one side of their mouth, they're promoting the satanic delusion that God can be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands, as is exemplified by their images of God that they say are okay. And out of the other side of their mouth, they claim to be God's people, God's children, the church, and the remnant. They claim to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists. They claim to be the people of God. But Desire of Ages, page 107, tells us that unless people keep the law of God, they are not His people. Again and again, we see God's Word in direct contradiction with the ways of the Laodiceans of our day. Indeed, they choose their own ways, and their soul delights in their heathen abominations. And God says, I will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. God shall send them strong delusion. And what could be a stronger delusion than a satanic delusion? The satanic delusion that God can be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. That is the strong delusion, at least one of them, that all heathen Laodicean Pharisees are involved in today. Oh, they're in a strong delusion, all right. It's called a satanic delusion. Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881. A satanic delusion. Continuing on in Desire of Ages. In the last paragraph on page 467, and then we'll quit with this paragraph as it continues on over to page 468. We'll stop there. It says, Jesus spoke to the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of his day, and he's still speaking to the openly idolatrous or heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day. The truth, especially the truth regarding the fact that they are in Sabbath polluting with idolatry, is unwelcome to these self-righteous men. They are offended by this truth. They close their eyes to this truth because they would rather not humble themselves to confess that they had been in error. They do not love the truth. And because they do not love the truth, they receive a lie. They receive strong delusion. They receive satanic delusion. Even the satanic delusion that God might be represented by material objects, the works of men's hands. Signs of the Times, May 19th, 1881. And it all gets back to the fact that they do not love the truth. Continuing on, Christ speaks to them in his day and in our day as well in the last paragraph, and he says, Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Day by day for 3 years, his enemies, that would be the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, had been following Christ, trying to find some stain in his character. Satan and all the confederacy of evil had been seeking to overcome him, but they had found nothing in him by which to gain an advantage. Even the devils were forced to confess, "Thou art the Holy One of God." Mark 1:24. Jesus lived the law in the sight of heaven, in the sight of unfallen worlds, and in the sight of sinful men. Before angels, men, and demons, he had spoken unchallenged words that from any other lips would have been blasphemy. "I do always those things that please him." Notice what it said here. One of the things it said in this closing paragraph for today that we're going to stop with, it says Jesus had lived the law in the sight of heaven, in the sight of sinful men, and in the sight of something else, in the sight of unfallen worlds. Right at the top of the page on Desire of Ages, page 468, paragraph 1. In the sight of unfallen worlds. What a beautiful thought. Here in the testimony of Jesus is proof from the truth from heaven that there are unfallen worlds out there in the universe. Worlds not like ours, worlds that stood the test and never ate of the apple, so to speak. Never received the temptation from Satan and ate of the apple. When Christ said, "Do not eat of that tree," in effect, they did not do that. They are unfallen worlds. Our world is a fallen world. But here in the Word of God, to give us strength and encouragement, God makes us aware from the truth of heaven and gives us proof that there are yet, even yet, unfallen worlds out there in the universe. This should encourage you and I to be truthful to Christ. And if we make a mistake, if we sin, don't be like the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, but humble ourselves to confess that we've been in error and seek forgiveness. What is the prize? Eternal life. A chance to go and visit these unfallen worlds and walk among them. What our world could have been is yet open for us to see, if we will but continually remain humble and humble ourselves if we're in error and seek forgiveness. God is faithful and just to forgive those who do such. It is only historically the heathen Laodicean Pharisees who find the truth unwelcome and are willing to even close their eyes to the truth. Why? Two reasons. They will not confess that they've been in error. And the second reason is they have no love of the truth at all. Brothers and sisters, if we want to be leaving our footprints and winging our way across these unfallen worlds that are truly out there, according to God's word, and experience what it's really like to be in an unfallen world, all we have to do is maintain a love of the truth and a willingness to confess if we are in error and to be constantly seeking for that which is true. And keep in mind that truth is infinite. Never come to the conclusion that we know all the truth. Never be so heathen and self-exalted that we can actually approve of a man-made statement of fundamental beliefs or a creed that numbers the truth, finite numbers, and says, "These are the 28 doctrines of truth we believe." But rather say, "I believe in the truth, and the truth is infinite. And this is my creed, and hold up the Word of God. The Word of God is my creed, and it is infinite, and it cannot be numbered. That's having a love of the truth. And when we do go into error, if we do go into error, do not have the heathen Laodicean Pharisees' self-exaltation, which is just an offspring of their pride, but rather remember the goal, to put our footprints on unfallen worlds, to wing our way across the expanses of unfallen worlds and get to know the people. That's our goal, and how do we meet it? By a love of the truth and by a willingness to confess when we've been in error. And know this, our ever-loving, infinitely loving God is faithful and just to give us forgiveness and to clothe us with His righteousness when we come to Him with such penitence. Keep the goal in mind. The goal is unfallen worlds. And the proof that there is such things is in the Word of God, as exemplified here in Desire of Ages 468, where it tells us about the reality of unfallen worlds. Keep our goal in mind. You want to be a citizen of these unfallen worlds. You want to set your track, your footprints, in the paths of these unfallen worlds and wing your way across them. Then recognize that there are clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventists and heathen Laodiceans. And let not the heathen Laodicean Pharisees deceive you by telling you that Laodiceans are the same thing as Seventh-day Adventists. They are not the same thing, no more than Satan is the same thing as God. Heathens are not the same things as Christians, and heathen Laodiceans are not the same thing as Christian Seventh-day Adventists. We are teaching God's Word, which should be accepted as the truth of heaven for all Christian Seventh-day Adventists. It will not be received by impenitent and heathen Laodiceans. It is unwelcome to them because they do not have a love of the truth. Rather, they prefer to close their eyes to the truth. They are not willing to confess that they are in error, and their error is Sabbath polluting with idolatry and Satan worship. And this error is defended by them with many a false witness. They are not willing to even begin to look at that which will keep them off the realms of these unfallen worlds. We need not be among them. We can choose wisely from God's Word. Choose to be Christian this day and make clear and decided distinctions between that which is Christian Seventh-day Adventism and heathen Laodiceanism. Next week we'll continue on in Desire of Ages 468, the very page in Desire of Ages that gives us proof of unfallen worlds. Next week, we'll continue on there in Desire of Ages 468, paragraph 2. Should we kneel for prayer? Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for your Word that teaches us the language of heaven. Help us as much as possible in this life that we now lead to learn to speak the language of heaven, the language that the citizens of the unfallen world speak. Help us to define the words and the terms and the definitions the way they understand them, the way you have defined them to mean. Do not let us be distracted by the terms and definitions of this world, of heathenism, whether it be heathen Laodiceanism or heathen Babylonianism. We wish to learn and to speak the language of heaven. We're so grateful for your word, for it increases our knowledge of this language. It increases our faith. It gives us a goal to ascribe to. Today in our word, we learned of unfallen worlds. Not worlds like the one we were born in, but worlds that have never fallen. Worlds, plural, unfallen worlds. Let this then be our goal, Lord, to overcome sin in our life, that we can walk and fly on those unfallen worlds one day, and that we can talk with the citizens of those worlds and realize the comfortable society of people that never sin and never have sinned. And we can trust everyone that's around us because they are an unfallen world. Let us keep this wonderful thought in mind as a goal, yet another goal, of ascribing to be in your kingdom. We ask in this regard then that you accept our thanks, for you are restoring health unto us, and you are healing us of our wounds. And no sooner does one wound cover itself over with a scab, so to speak, and we find we're healed, then we turn and we see we're in need of yet more healing. So we plead to you with our thanksgiving for this continual healing. According to Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. In these regards, we ask for healing upon every one of us. A healing of not only our physical wrongs that have come to us in life, and our physical challenges that need healing. Each of us have these at times. We know not the healing that's needed for everyone, even our own selves. So we trust in you, God, as being our physician, and fulfilling unto us that promise from Jeremiah 36, that you will restore health unto us. The restoration of this health unto us includes a restoration of health to our neighbors and our loved ones who do not know you yet. We ask that you work in their life and by your Holy Spirit that they be converted, and that they have the will to know you, and therefore that they too be healed, because their healing is a part of restoring health unto us as well, and a fulfillment of your promise in Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. In all regards in our life, and in all of our concerns and our areas of thanksgiving, we simply ask, your will be done, and we trust in that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you for your participation today in worship service and your attendance. Happy Sabbath, and we'll see you all again in worship again next week. God bless and God give you safe week.